Film Vault.
Yeah!
Film Vault. Welcome, everybody. Film Vault, thank you for joining us. Anderson over there, Brian Bishop over here. For today's episode, top five school teachers. Now, it started to be top five teachers. Not to Logan, but to the rest of us, top five teachers. In my research, Anderson, I'm sure yours as well, so many teachers!
Yeah, there's a few.
So many teachers in the annals of movie history that we decided I had a lot I want to put on there. In fact, inspired by last week's flickfession not Haywire, what the fuck? Whiplash. Cut that out. Mm-hmm. Whiplash. Why have nuts on top five teachers? And so many teachers on the list. We decided to break it up. We'll do top five college professors someday. We'll do top five principals someday. But these are school teachers, K through 12, at least for me anyway. Anderson?
I follow the rules.
Thank you.
You want to hear some drunken ramblings that I wrote about you?
Sure. Wait, what?
I was drunk a few nights ago, okay. And I was thinking about the show.
And you were inspired?
I was inspired, yeah.
Inspired,
so I whipped out the phone and I a little notepad there, a little yellow on the iPhone.
Yeah,
there.
Let's hear it.
I wrote about a hijacking.
Okay.
Brian, it occurred to me while drunk.
Okay.
Well, I'm vibing a little bit. I wasn't, plastered.
Sure.
I remember, right?
You were drinking.
I was drinking. I was throwing them back.
What
of it? My brain became lucid.
What of it?
And I thought, you know what? We're more on the conversation. Last week we had a conversation with Brian about a hijacking, and we had a longer conversation at the end of the program.
Right.
Because it was filled with spoilers, which we're not going to do here. But Brian was bitching, kind of whining about European filmmakers not giving that sappy, everything's tied up in a neat bow.
No, you missed it. You can play. I'll let you finish.
You essentially were saying that. I don't know if you were bitching about it, but you're identifying the idea that European filmmakers are more prone to giving you a fuck you ending.
That's a good way to put it. A tacked on unhappy ending.
Here's what occurred to me after the fact. You're the exact American that European filmmakers are saying fuck you to.
Really?
You're it. The Transformer consuming.
Wow.
Red. The movie Red. Movie peddler.
Are you saying I'm a basic bitch?
Frat boy.
I'm a basic bitch?
That they're looking to alienate.
Logan, is that what I am?
That's their way of saying, hey, we're not looking for Hollywood box office types.
Wow.
We're making our own thing over here.
No, I did point
out that... Plus, it probably has something to do with them getting their ass kicked a couple times during the World Wars.
And the WWs.
Yeah.
I did point out...
Back to back World War champions!
Merca. I did point out that I appreciate a good downer ending, especially when it's earned, when it's the culmination of the story. I.E. 7 is a good example of a movie with a downer ending that's just the way the story goes, and that works. It's the tacked on that I don't like, but I do love Transformers. I wasn't a frat, so you got me there.
Mm-hmm. And Red. You made me watch Red.
I do like Red. Red's hard to not like, Anderson.
No, I didn't
you
have
tried.
A, I
you
did
tried.
Not have a hard time.
No, you seem
I did not enjoy it. Okay,
hard.
Let's flick fest some new movies that have not been flick fest. I was also thinking about how when we first began flick fashion like 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. God, it's been like 3-4, maybe 5 years. We've done this old flick fashion here.
Did we do it back in the Corolla show days?
Yeah, that's where we started it. For the first, I'd say 2-3 weeks, maybe months, Brian would come in here and go, okay, well, today I was in the kitchen making myself a sandwich and RoboCop was on too. Not even that good. Terminator 2 was on.
Yeah, so Sucker Punch is on again.
I didn't watch all of it, but I watched about half of it, the middle third.
I thought it was a diary of our film watching.
It is, but it's supposed to... produce something.
I have evolved.
Worthy.
I've evolved. I hope you recognize.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, what do we start here with?
Three films for me, all above average. Although I hesitate to super recommend any of them. First, good news for people like me who I feel like Woody Allen movies are a blind spot in my film history. I haven't seen a lot of them. I've seen a small handful. But good news, Netflix is now streaming. I just noticed a dozen or so Woody Allen films popped up on the old Netflix streaming there. So I went through his little catalog and added them into my queue. And I said, I'm going to knock a few of these out because they're 80 to 90 minutes and they're mostly digestible for the most part. And you can get through a few. Now, did you get my email from earlier today?
Yes.
Okay. Here's a question.
Oh, yeah, you sent me numerous emails, actually, and texts. And there was a lot of Brian this week.
Wow.
He's getting a lot of info. Wow. A lot of things thrown my way.
Wow.
There's a lot of back and forth. Well, a lot of forth.
More a lot of back, not a lot of forth.
Yeah.
Or a lot of forth, not a lot of back.
Go ahead. Which fucking Woody Allen movie did Brian see?
Before I get there, I thought about this. If you had to watch one director's movies for the rest of your life.
Why don't you give me a heads up?
Look in your email right now.
I'm kidding.
And only one director.
Uh-huh.
Who would it be? Now, the obvious choice. Okay, you're locked into this movie's, this director's movie. So dead directors, Hitchcock, it's Kubrick. You have a finite number of movies to work with. A living director, you get everything they produce from now on. So you kind of want to get someone who's maybe got some gas in the tank. Mm-hmm. But then I was thinking, like, you know, an obvious choice like a Scorsese or a Spielberg.
Why are we
or
doing filler?
Huh?
This is filler.
This is movie talk.
Oh, it's filler.
It's hypothetical. Bullshit. We're talking about...
Phil.
Come on.
We're filling. Why are we playing this
who'd
game?
Who'd you choose? Well, make it go faster.
Want me to read some more drunken notes about Brian?
I would like that.
In movies?
No. Anything about me is fine.
You know, I default to Kubrick. Speaking of which, yes, I've heard
that's
from,
only like 11
from
films,
all
though.
Of you. I'm 13. I've heard from all of you, and I appreciate all of you giving me the heads up about the Simpsons take on Kubrick and their homage to Kubrick for the
Treehouse.
I said
that to you.
Many people did, Brian. I appreciate it, guys. In fact, I was lucky enough to be working on a paper with the wife in the bed, in the tea, in the room. Fox was just on. And I look up, I'm like, holy shit. Why have I never heard about this? Why has no one ever told me about this? And my wife's like, settle down, Anderson. It's brand new.
It's brand new tonight.
It's airing right now. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And it just kept getting better. And that's why TV was invented, was for that little Treehouse of Horrors, Kubrick homage. Holy shit. It was fantabulous.
So would you choose Kubrick?
God, it was great.
Keep in mind how familiar you are with the movies.
I've already seen so many of them. I'd probably go with, the Coen brothers. Not a bad choice there. They got the laughs. They got the thrill. They're still making more movies. They're prolific. They got a lot. I'll go Coen brothers.
That's what I have right here. Coen brothers.
Oh, no!
You know why? Variety of genres. Right. If you're in the mood for a comedy, maybe Kubrick isn't the... Well, you aside, but you know what I'm saying? Maybe Hitchcock isn't the guy.
In God's green earth, does this have to do with the Woody Allen movie you saw, Brian?
Was Woody Allen so prolific?
Okay, man. Yeah, one a year.
That's
he
right.
Makes himself sit down in the writer's chair every single day. You know what? If he doesn't have an idea, you know what he does?
He pounces it out.
He sharpens pencils. Mm. He's not getting up for that chair till he writes something.
Interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I learned that from the Woody Allen documentary that was fabulous.
I also might choose Paul Thomas Anderson.
PTA, yeah, but that might be a good choice because he has so much more to offer. He's going to give us another good 10.
It's buying young.
10 movies, probably, but he does like to take long periods.
That's true.
Sometimes.
After a few years of heartache. Okay. I wrote that down about Woody Allen because I saw Zelig.
Oh. I never saw Zelig.
You never saw Zelig?
Nope.
Zelig, you're familiar with the concept. It's almost in the zeitgeist, mm-hmm. Zelig. He is a 1983 film written and directed by Woody Allen. It might be the first mockumentary or an early example of the popular trend. Which
Danny Rose kind of was too, right?
No, that was a straight narrative.
Was it?
It was. Zelig was for full-on mockumentary. And this is a year before Spinal Tap. This is set in the 1920s about a guy, Leonard Zelig, played by Woody Allen, who is a human... Excuse me, hiccup. Human chameleon. He can take on the traits of the environment around him, the people around him. It leaves some very uncomfortable, potentially offensive now moments where he's in blackface, yellowface, dressed as a Native American, and a Mexican, which I guess is a brown face. But he is... He becomes the people he hangs out with. He sort of takes on those characteristics. And much like Forrest Gump years later, 10 years later, 11 years later, he will show up in newsreels. He's presented a lot of newsreel archival footage. And he's like on deck for the Yankees, you know, at spring training. And he's a great jazz musician. So in a way, it's kind of a masturbatory fantasy from Woody Allen. He gets to play for the Yankees. He gets to be this great jazz musician, jazz trumpeter, or whatever he is. But I wonder, you know...
Sounds like Holy Motors, a little bit.
A little bit. I did picture Woody Allen... I do imagine Woody Allen during this movie doing his 9-to-5 daily writing and sort of... I know how it is. I was in a writing class where I was forced to write a certain number of pages every day, and it was... tough because when you're not inspired, it's hard to write. But I ended up being a sort of a diary. And that's sort of what I think Woody Allen does with his movies is if it's just not there, it just kind of becomes a de facto diary. And this is a good movie. It's interesting. I can't recommend it as a great movie, but maybe Woody Allen fans find it great. I don't know. This is considered one of his best.
Was it good writing? Was there some good dialogue? Was there some funny gags?
There was some great Woody Allen stuff. At one point, he depicts a cowardly bullfighter. Which is a funny concept because bullfighters are just all machismo and all bravado. There's some good satirical, it satirizes the intellectual culture of the day. There's Susan Sontag's in there, and it gets a little in love with its own headiness. He's sort of a comically nebbish X-Man. He can become different people, but it's a very sort of lame trait. Nominated for 2 Oscars, by the way. Costume design and cinematography. Yeah, good movie. I can't heartily recommend it. Say this is one to rush out and see. I've enjoyed other Woody Allen movies more. Maybe you'll see it someday.
Okay, know. Great.
Anyway, it's streaming along with about a dozen other Woody Allen flicks.
Sweet.
So
fantastic.
Dive in if you want to.
So that means about one twentieth of his movie collection of his.
Yeah.
Of his library is available.
Prolific output.
Awesome movie, Brad. A few listeners have been telling me you got to check out this movie. You got to check it out. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna listen to the listener.
Okay.
And I'm gonna give a shot to yet another found footage.
Oh no!
Movie, Brad.
Oh no!
Genre's not going away. It's too cheap to make, and people respond to it. So it's here to stay. Stick with it.
Would you rather see another mockumentary or another found footage?
Oh, I have. You recall, Brian? All mockumentaries banned them. They all think they're so funny. Everything's so goddamn tongue-in-cheek. That being said, Arrested Development and Modern Family work just fine.
Yeah.
As well as that show Review. You ever heard of that show Review?
Isn't that with John Hodge? Or no,
it's available
comedian.
On Amazon Instant. And
it's comedian,
hit and miss,
right?
But when it hits, holy shit, is it funny.
It's the comedian who tries things.
Tries things in life. He doesn't review books or movies or food. He reviews life.
Experiences. Yeah, I know.
If you have Amazon Prime, and you can see it over there on Instant, and it's good stuff.
Okay.
Hit and miss, though. Sometimes it's not too good.
Oh, no. Short.
Anyways. Oh, speaking of which. Actually, not speaking of which. Non-sequitur. I need a sound guy.
Why?
I need a sound mixer.
You are a sound guy.
I know I'm a sound guy, Brian. But scheduled for the next, for the fifth short, Brian. Possibly the fifth and sixth short. A couple weekends in November. Assembling the team. Casting it. Looking for locations right now. Doing the dog one, finally. And I need a sound guy. My sound guy. I know he listens to this program. So, Joe, I love you. But you fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah,
so
but you're not reliable.
You are. And if you get this, if you hear this, give me a call back. But I need somebody who does actual location sound, because you are one of the most important elements. And so please do hit me up over at
AndersonCallen.com. The sound guy needs a sound man.
Yeah, the sound guy needs a sound
Physician,
man.
Physician, heal thyself.
So please do.
Where do they go again?
What? AndersonCallen.com. And just shoot me an email, or better yet, hit the cold cockle button and submit. Oh, you should be local, too. Los Angeles works best.
We're willing to travel.
We'll be shooting. But the 15th and the 22nd, the two weekends before Thanksgiving. And it's going to be fun. And these are the best ones. Oh, my film, my little short, first one, also got in another festival.
Hey!
More on
it's
that
It's already
to come.
In one. It's getting another?
Yeah, it's two out of three. It's been accepted
good
two out of
you,
three
buddy.
So far.
Look
and it's
going
to be playing at the Man Chinese Theater in April. So we got plenty of time to schedule that
good
out.
For
but
you,
I'll
buddy.
Let you guys know. And it'll be a good time.
Wait,
it'll
the Chinese Theater?
The Man Chinese.
Not the Man Chinese, the Turner Classic Theater. But the Chinese Theater. It's not Man.
Oh, yeah, it's no longer. There was the Grauman's. And
yes.
Whatever. The point is, it's probably the most famous theater in the world.
Your movie's premiering there?
It's not premiering there.
But
it's already
there?
Showing, like, in a public form.
It's showing there?
Yeah. Rules of Reduction.
The guy, the manager of the theater, is a fan of the show.
Of this show?
Fan of maybe my other show. But he knows me. And, he's gotten me into many screenings there.
Well,
so we should do something.
He's just renting it out to this festival.
We should do something.
No, I'm going to do something completely independent later. Here we go. I saw a found fucking footage movie. It's called 2013. It's called The Sacrament, Brian.
What's the date of this festival?
I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot more. I just found out about it yesterday. So
What's the date?
April something. They don't even have an exact date yet. All right? Here we go. The movie's called The Sacrament. Streaming on Fuckflix right now. You heard of The Sacrament there, Logan? You ever heard of The Sacrament? Nah, he's never heard
it's
of it.
It's a recent movie, right?
2013.
Yeah.
It's a vice-taped found footage movie. The theory, the premise is this...
Vice-taped?
This guy has a sister who's got caught up in this cult, and she's living in this cult, and it's a very remote location, only accessible by helicopter. She wants him to come visit. He somehow gets Vice magazine to follow him over there, so they got a cameraman, a reporter, and the brother, and they go over to this cult. In the middle of nowhere. If you've seen Lost, you can't help but think of Lost because it feels very much like the other's living quarters. It's a new twist and using an actual name in Vice Productions, Vice, the television program, a fantastic HBO program, which has been talked about on this program numerous times, and using a cameraman as the actual shooter so that it makes sense that the actual found footage looks pretty decent because it's a professional behind the camera. So that was kind of interesting. Okay. I enjoyed that. The violence and the death that occurs at various points. It's Eli Roth produced.
Okay. So you know what you're getting.
A guy named Ty West directed it. And you're expecting some gore, but it's not, it's very realistic, neo-realistic. And the deaths are, you feel them.
Mm.
And it's upsetting, some of them. But
I don't want this.
Not nearly gory enough for most Eli Roth fans, I don't think. It's not like a gore fest. It's going for that thriller, tense feeling, which it was mostly dull. I was bored throughout. And essentially, when it comes right down to it, it's a recreation of the Jonestown Massacre. Now, if the Jonestown Massacre did not exist, had never happened, or if you're not familiar with said Jonestown Massacre, you might enjoy this movie. But for me, I'm just like, oh, it's like Jonestown, but not quite as big a scale and fake. But, you know, it looked like they had fun making it. And it looked good. It just, I don't understand. It'd be like watching a movie about the Manson family, but it's the guy's name's Fred.
Sure, but it's not quite. Oh, what was the other movie I had a problem with that?
I like that sometimes, like Velvet Goldmine. I love that, where they
recreated
the whole world.
That was the one I had a problem with.
World.
No, that's the one I didn't like.
Because
who's supposed to be who? Is that supposed to be Bowie, or is that supposed to be Lou Reed?
Yeah, it was easy to tell who was who. Lou Reed and Bowie. Yeah, that was easy. Iggy Pop. That's because he didn't get Bowie to sign off on it, so he had to go around and make a whole fake world. I appreciated that. So, anyways, Sacrament, you could do worse. Solid 3-star film, Brian. If it's on, if your friends are watching, don't cause a fuss.
Fair enough. Zelig was a solid 3-star film. I can go with that. Here's another solid 3-star film, although I have to say I was disappointed by this one because it was nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, we're getting to Fury, too, in a bit, guys. I know, you know, I know the tags don't work, but we're getting to Fury.
What tags?
There's tags.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's tags. Fury, yeah. It might not say, like, if you're, you know, looking at the episode, it might not say Fury anywhere.
Oh,
we're going to talk about Fury.
Gotcha.
But I'm not going to let Brian spoil it.
I'm not saying anything.
All right.
I'm talking about a different movie.
I know, because you haven't got there yet.
This is another 3-star movie, but again, disappointed
please
by
don't
it.
Don't elaborate too late. Too lengthily on it, please.
Could have been past this part.
It's only 3-star.
Now I'm start again.
Okay.
3-star movie.
You always have to go back to the beginning like fucking Rain Man.
I'd give this movie 3 stars.
I'm going to try to stop saying fuck.
Wow.
Starting now. Go ahead.
Solid 3-star movie.
That's
where you say fuck.
This is not an enjoyable Brian.
Out of 5. I was expecting more because it was nominated for Best Picture.
How many stars?
Also,
all right, Brian, I'm sorry. Go.
Nominated for Best Picture, nominated for Best Screenplay, nominated for Best Sound. It was a big hit in 1974. Well, talking about The Conversation.
You're going way back.
Conversation.
I haven't seen this since film school, Brad.
This was streaming.
Little dull.
A
little slow.
A little slow.
This is that movie that hipster movie buffs love to say one of their favorites. Yeah.
This is Network.
I love Network. Okay. I need to go back and watch Conversation, and now I hope I really like it so that I can
join the club.
Here. Yeah.
Join the club.
Because I remember being forced to watch this in film school, as you're forced to watch many movies but many of them are like delightful, and you're like, wow, I'm so glad that I'm in film school seeing this delightful French movie from the 20s.
So this is an American
film. This
was
not one of those.
1974, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, and has been on streaming forever, and I've had it on my queue. I was like, fuck it, I'm knocking
out
the Conversation.
And you love Gene Hackman.
And I love Gene Hackman, and John Cazale, who I also love, and a young Harrison Ford. It's also in this, pre-Star Wars, of course. So the main character, Gene Hackman, is an audio surveillance expert. It's sort of revealed at a trade show that he's sort of a celebrity in the surveillance world. Everyone knows who he is. Like, oh, you listen to people
really good.
I think it's Harry Call.
You're a great listener of people when they don't know.
We learn early on that his landlord is spying on him in sort of a roundabout way. So it sort of foreshadows some of the events later in the film. That's an interesting twist. We see quickly that he's a tinker.
Wait, you just talked about the twist.
No, that's not the twist. That's a small event that happens later. This is not. But it's funny because you mentioned that. Okay, I'll just jump to the end.
There is
a big twist. I think it was supposed to be a huge twist back in 1974. It's not much of a twist these days. It's kind of the only possible twist that could have come. And here's what I think. I think The Conversation was a right time, right place kind of a movie. Francis Ford Coppola had already done The Godfather, and The Godfather Part 2 came out the same year and won Best Picture the same year. Those were two films nominated by him same year for Best Picture. So that was happening. Watergate was wrapping up. Like, it was deep into the Watergate scandal just before Nixon was going to be resigning. So that whole audio surveillance thing was happening. And then... Wait, I'll write it down.
It's okay, Brian. You don't have to do every single thing.
Oh, and then the Sting had come out 2 years... Oh, no, the year before had won Best Picture. And that was a huge sort of, oh, the twist at the end. It's all about the twist. And I think this is a right time, right place kind of a movie. It is a little slow.
Now I have to
see it again. It's not bad. It's just very 70s. There's a dream sequence that goes on forever.
You know, I watched it when I watched it. It was for my cinematography class. And I remember having to really pay attention to colors used throughout the entire film. That was the main guy's premise that I had to go in watching this under. So I should watch it again so I can join the hipster crowd officially.
Sure.
Again.
Gene Hackman is a great, I will give them this, there's a great anti-hero. He's sort of a nerdy loser. Remember him? He's like antisocial, kind of obsessive. He tells people he has no phone, even though he does have one. He wears a cheap coat. You can see the light coming through it. It's obviously a very thin, very cheap
coat. I love the stock of the early 70s films.
It's mid-70s San Francisco, too, which is sort of a very grimy place.
Same with the French Connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Feels
exactly
the same. Yeah.
There's a floozy, throws himself at him, and all he wants to do is go back and listen to his audio tapes. Like, he's kind of a very strong.
I want to go to a lounge in the 70s and drink bourbon and smoke cigarettes and look at floozies.
Yeah, that's what you want, right?
God damn it, why can't I do that?
Anyway, you know what? If I was
McFly, that's what I'd do in Back to the Future. Immediately, 1974.
Just hang out, wait for the 70s.
Dr. Drew says everything about the 70s is terrible. Well, TV is pretty bad. Film's golden era.
Yeah, film was doing well.
All right, we both saw a film last week.
We did.
Moving on. Out in theaters this now. It just came out, a new release. Big hyped movie about a tank.
Furry.
Oh. Fury. Oh. 1 hour, Brian. 1 hour. And Brian and I both saw it, and now we are going to discuss it.
Yes.
Not at length.
No. Not like the movie, not at length. Uh-huh. Movie's lengthy.
Movie is 2 hours, 15 minutes.
Written and directed by David Ayer, writer of Training Day and The Fast and the Furious, director of End of Watch, which I liked.
End of Watch was good. It felt like a found footage movie.
It did. Well, yeah.
But it worked. It wasn't a traditional found footage movie. And I liked that film quite a bit. I didn't love it, but I liked it quite a bit. I mean, it had a very good, strong
solid
ending.
Solid B+.
Strong ending that really leaves you wanting more.
Yes.
I think leading up to that was a little bit weak sauce, but people remember endings a lot.
True. Brad Pitt, Logan, what? You have more to say?
Yeah, he also wrote Training Day. I don't know if
he said that. Yeah, I said that. Okay. Fast and Furious. Brad Pitt, Logan Lerman, Michael Pena, and Shia LaBeouf, who was my favorite character in the movie.
Really?
I like LaBeouf. What about you?
You know what? I looked him up earlier today, and I meant to highlight him.
The other
guy was my favorite guy. No, Logan Lerman was good. Okay, Logan Lerman's from he's from Percy's
Lightning. Yeah,
Lightning Percy Jackson. Yeah. Looking for dragons in No Man's Land.
Right.
And he was also in Perks of Being a Wallflower, which I enjoyed.
Perks of Being a Tank.
At the Chinese Theater run. Okay. I saw that with the wife at the Chinese Theater a couple years ago. Perks of Being a Wallflower. Good little movie. Movie about my childhood, pretty much. My grown mid-90s. Like that film.
All right.
Anyways, he's perfect in this because he's supposed to be like the new kid. It's at time of the war, it's like towards the end of World War II, 1945, and they're pretty much, you know, up against it as far as casualties. So they're throwing anyone they can in a battle, and he was riding a desk.
He's a typist.
A little kid, you know, trained to type 60 words a minute, and all of a sudden they're throwing him in this tank, and he's going to be on the front lines.
Ahead of the front lines. Now, they're seeking out mines.
Going into this movie, I was very excited about the tank being a character, and I think that he pulled that off. To an extent. I felt like the place that it took place in was
that. I felt so disconnected from the life in the tank. That's all I wanted. Like you, I'm like, oh, this will be interesting.
I got the sense of the surroundings of the tank and what it meant to them, and tank was safety.
Okay.
And they're in that tank, and I thought that it was going to be. Now there's a scene, early scene. We're not giving anything away. I promise you that. I promise you guys that. And if there's a slip up, I promise we'll cut it.
Not a lot to give away.
But it's just such a new movie. I thought one of the first big battle sequences. There's some horrific gore and violence.
Yeah, there's unnecessary violence.
And you know, after the fact, like the cleanup, there's some really good looking special effects that make people squirm. I saw this in a packed house, which
I
rarely do.
A lot of 65 year old men.
A lot. No, it was mostly young kids, and a lot of people were very upset.
A lot of head trauma, a lot of skull trauma, a lot of
first
headshots.
But it's war. It was a very realistic depiction of war, I think. From
gratuitous.
It was showing the filth that is war, Brian. The horror that is war.
War horror.
The first big action sequence involving the tanks was phenomenal. It was fantastic. Trees are getting cut down.
Yeah.
It's the light. They're using like lasers. It looks like Star Wars in Nazi Germany. There was lasers flying all about.
It was the tracers, and there's heavy use of tracers that I've not seen in a lot of World War II
movies. It was
movies.
Great looking, and I was thinking, okay, here we go.
You know what tracer is?
You keep using it. I'm assuming it's
every fifth or sixth or whatever bullet, they'll put one in that lights up literally, like goes like a laser beam, like you said, so you can actually see where your shots are going. Helpful from a tank.
It made it look fantastic. Yeah. And seeing these tree line actually just getting ripped down, I was thinking, okay, this is gonna be, you know, a good warm, a very
turn that forest into a meadow.
There's a scene, it's not often in a movie where it just takes a turn and then there's just a drop off. And when they hang out, when they meet those two chicks.
Yeah.
In the town? The whole movie falls apart and it never comes back.
The train derailed.
It never comes back.
The train jumped the tracks.
Now, this is a movie people are going to love. Critics are going to love it. It's going to be up for Academy Awards.
No way. Yeah. Maybe some technical
Brad
awards.
Pitt might get up for Best Actor.
You're fucking crazy.
Nope. No, I'm not. It might even be up. It could be up for Best Writer.
Wow.
It could be. I could see that for sure. Brian, people aren't.
I think you're being cynically...
going to react. I'm surprised that you didn't like it. Now, one of the main reasons why I didn't like it either, it was pandering to the Christian Bible Belt way too much. What the fuck are you doing, David Iyer?
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess so.
So much Christian Bible babble.
I guess so.
Offensive. It offended me.
Huh.
I was offended by it. Were you?
No, I kind of figured that was part of one character, sort of.
No, it was all three of them piling on. But what's the name of the one guy? The one guy that wasn't really recognizable. He looked like a young Robert De Niro. He acted like a the hick. He was really good.
He was good. He was good.
What
I
was
forgot
his
to write
name?
His name down. I'm sorry.
Oh, there it is. John Bernthal. He was good.
He was good. Credit words, too.
I guess he's in Walking Dead, which I'm not familiar
right.
with.
This is not a bad movie. It's just...
It's going to get the fanfare, Brad. It's going to.
I disagree, man. I this is nothing remarkable. This is a very unremarkable. I've seen it
it's
4 days
to,
ago. I remember nothing about it.
80 plus on
no,
the
not.
Old Rotten
79%.
All right. Well, close.
It's not that good, dude.
I agree with you.
And then why are you defending it when you seem to not like it as much as me?
I'm defending my belief that it's going to be up for, I say, minimum 3 Academy Awards.
Technical awards, I can see that.
No,
but
we don't count those, Brad.
This is a forgettable movie. No
it's
one's
going to
talk about this in months.
Maybe like, perhaps like sound design.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that is one of the technical ones that's actually presented on the night
that's
of.
That's what I mean.
But I think Brad Pitt's going to get a look.
Never.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
never.
There could be writing a year.
Right? What are you, nuts?
We'll see.
I just can't see it. I just can't see it.
I hope you're right.
We should make a friendly wager.
I believe I won last time we did this.
I don't remember we've ever done this.
I think it was about Life of Pi. I thought it would get more than anyone else.
Hmm.
Huh.
Good movie. That's a good movie.
I think it got second most. All right, here we go.
Fury is just...
You see the Fury there?
Unremarkable.
It's not the Fury. It's
no,
Fury.
I haven't seen anything for a while.
It's a really well-made movie because of the day and age with the kind of technology
that we have.
It is
a very well-made movie. Technically, it hits
all the
marks.
I didn't really care about the characters. And I think
agree.
You had to... And I think that they assumed that you cared about them. Mm. Right to the last shot. Which was supposed to be remarkable and amazing. It's like, I've seen that done, but much better.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But some of the action was really... I haven't seen some of those effects before.
Technically accomplished, but...
Like Nazis burning from the inside? I've never seen that before. That's kind of cool. But, okay, and one of the main problems that I have with writing, with the writing of, is, you know, the young kid, he's 60 words a minute kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there should be, like, this slow story arc where he, you know... You know that he's going to become a grizzled veteran throughout the course of the movie. I mean, that's just, you know, handed to you on a platter in the beginning. You realize that's what... And he goes from, like, I'm scared, I don't want to pull the trigger, to, fuck you, Nazis! And I think he said, fucking Nazis. Like, every time they showed him shooting Nazis, fucking Nazis!
Yeah, it was very... It was very...
It was... It definitely lacked the arc that I was hoping for. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
It's a man's movie.
Speaking of which, my tagline for this is... Your dad's new favorite movie. This is a movie for your dad. I mean, your dad, but I mean one's dad.
Yeah, I can see older people.
I mean,
really
Logan's dad,
because
he's fine for the
end. The baby boomers are going to enjoy this one. But another, like, just little things were bothering me throughout. And maybe I'm glad to hear that you're... I was afraid that I was going to have to explain why this wasn't a great movie to you. There's this sense that, like, Brad Pitt is their leader, right? To all the other guys in the tank.
Of course.
And there's actually this one scene where, like, he walks up behind them, and they all stand up, and they're all startled. Cut to, like, a couple days later, and Brad Pitt's talking to a lady, and they essentially come and shit on her food right in front of them. And they're like, they don't actually shit on her. I'm sorry
but
for the crassness.
That would be unimaginable to a superior officer.
Any sense
at
all.
Not an officer, but to a superior.
And I know arguments can be made, well, they were the enemy, so they had a right to, and it was a different situation, but it didn't...
Not with your boss.
Didn't read true to me.
I agree. It was overdramatic.
And it was weird seeing Peña play like a homie.
Yes, he felt out of
feel
place.
Like he belonged in World War II.
He's
and I'm
the
sure
same
that
character from End of Watch.
Were Mexican, he was harder though. He was like, I'm straight out of East LA, and I'm sure that there were Mexicans like in that time in the war.
There weren't any.
But it was just very strange.
I agree. Yeah. It was, he seemed out of time and place.
The audience that I saw with, though, the younger audience,
younger,
a lot of homies, they enjoyed his character quite a bit.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
We got to get him into the audience.
All right, that's all we have to say about that.
What do you have
Fury.
One more movie? One more movie?
No, that's it. Shit, you're right.
You do?
I almost forgot.
Come on, buddy.
My Halloween pick of the year.
Halloween, wow.
I saw a great little movie.
Mine is Zelig.
It's a cute, very cute, enjoyable little horror film, cult. Horror film called Trick or Treat, Brian. Trick or Treat. Trick or Treat. 2007. This is a movie that intertwines five separate stories, and it's really clever and gross, but not like just for the sake of being gross. It all takes place in one night, Halloween night. There's a high school principal who is actually played fantastically by Dylan Baker, who was the dad who had sex with little Billy in Happiness.
Oh,
remember that
yeah,
guy?
Of course.
Dylan Baker. I love
one
that.
Of those guys.
He pops up quite a bit.
Yeah,
in different. Dylan Baker's a he's a character actor. And what's funny here is
he's Apollo 13.
Was he in Apollo 13? Brian Singer produces one. Dylan Baker with his son is named Billy in this movie. Brian in Trick or Treat, the same name as his love interest in Happiness. Hey, you like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Trick or Treat.
Yeah. So it's
written
and directed by Michael Dougherty.
Can I stream this shit?
He's an actor, and what?
It's a Halloween pack. Is it in theaters?
Brian, no. 2007.
Can I stream it? But it's a Halloween pick. Why are you telling people about a movie they can't get?
You can send away for it. It's on DVD, Brian.
Good
and
luck.
You can probably get it on iTunes. So here's what I just dealt with.
After this episode, it'll be 10,000 people.
Here's what I dealt with. Brian looking at his phone, looking up at the TV, then picking his nails, going, can you stream it? Can you stream it? Is it in theaters? Can you stream it?
Sorry, buddy. My grandpa's very sick.
All right. Well, unless he's dead, don't interrupt the fucking show. I'm talking about Trick or Treat here.
He might be. That's why I'm checking my phone. Threw up blood.
I just took Brian's.
Threw up blood.
I just took Brian's phone. I'm
back.
Trying to talk about
matter,
a fake,
matter,
fake blood
matter life
in a movie
now.
That
oh, well,
will bring
carry
lots
on
of joy to me. This is a great little movie to rent this time of year. I've been meaning to see it for a long time. It was straight to VOD. I mean, straight to video. Not sure why. It's a really good little horror film. Very clever from beginning to end. It does a Pulp Fiction thing where all the stories intertwine. And
one night.
Brian Cox character, who is... his storyline is by far my favorite, and it's the best. It stars a little boy named Sam, or a little something named Sam, who's like a scarecrow character. He's the only thing that stretches in every single story. You see Sam in the background, and he's a creepy little dude with like the scarecrow like burlap sack over his head with stitched mouth. Oh, Sam, wow. My buddy, really a good friend of mine, Trevor, who did the song for us, the DuckTales song.
Oh, yeah.
He's a huge horror fan, and he has like actual like Leatherface, like life-size character in his house, like wax figures. And he has like Frankenstein and Dracula. He has all these classic characters. I've been going over to his house for years, and he has this little Sam guy from the movie. He loves Trick or Treat. He's been telling me to watch it for years. Mm-hmm. Finally did. Trick or Treat. Check it out. You're going to enjoy yourself. Some really good, creepy imagery. And it's such a cult success. I had such a following that they're actually making a follow-up.
Really?
And they're actually
Trick or Treat 2?
Doing Trick or Treat 2, which I could see, you know, people don't really care about the horror genre. I could see it being released theatrically this time and getting some fanfare.
Okay.
Trick or Treat 2007. It's a good little movie for this time of year. Yeah, there you go.
Come on next.
You want your phone now so you can see
follow
your...
my grandpa's final moments? Yeah, I like that. Thank you very much.
I got Brian watching the goddamn Giants World Series game while watching Death Watch of his grandfather.
Run it up! 7-1. Coming up next. Top 5 school teachers of all time.
Trick or treat.
Anderson. Mm. People getting their Halloween costumes through our click-through over at theandersonandbrian.com there.
Still?
Yeah.
Well, Amazon, it comes so quick.
Yeah, it comes in 2 days.
You know that
Monday,
I order
if really
stuff, yeah, if you get the 2-day thing with the old Amazon... Mm-hmm. They make, like, the FedEx guys or UPS guys go on Sundays.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice.
It's weird.
Up. You order on a Friday, comes there on a Sunday.
My dogs are freaking out, barking at the door because someone's there. I'm like, oh, Bible thumpers coming to my door trying to talk about Jesus. Nope.
It's your Halloween costume.
My new skateboard. Sweet.
Speaking of which, somebody
True. got a
they're going as the Riddler, I suppose. Someone got a Riddler's cane. They got a skirt with sequins. I guess it's a girl's costume. And adult style corset for the Riddler. So there you go. Girl Riddler. I've never seen a sexy Riddler before.
Did you hear me? I got a skateboard, Brian.
That's awesome.
I'm going to be skating soon.
Are you going to skate to work?
I'm going to shred. It's going to be awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
What if you skated to the bathroom? To the water fountain?
I'll definitely bring my board in here.
Nice.
Yep. Got old Powell Peralta reissue.
Other things that were purchased. Someone got a three, for some reason, fixed side convertible cribs. So
maybe
they
have
triplets.
Brian.
I was going to say
triplets. Or maybe they're OCD. They want to make sure there's always a clean one.
Always on every bed. What is this here? Someone got a flash for their Canon camera, like the actual flash that goes on
top. I
don't know
why that's worthy of talking about.
Expensive item. Appreciate someone buying that for us.
That's very nice.
A dome camera, you know, like they have the Eye in the Sky in Vegas. Someone got one of those.
Well, that's worthy of talking about.
That's expensive item.
Well, thank you very much.
An HTC One, an Asus 24-inch monitor, which is a
okay. big ticket item.
Big ticket item. Samsung Galaxy Tab S, tablet, that is. Someone is refilling, I'm assuming either someone is very prone to accidents or is refilling their company's emergency kits or, you know, all that stuff.
A lot of gauze.
Somebody got 1,000 Advil tablets, 2,000 adhesive bandages, 2,000 antiseptic wipes, 1,200 antibiotic ointments, and 500 first aid burn creams.
Ooh, maybe so, they're Armageddonists.
Maybe they're repairing. I don't know why they wouldn't get it in bulk instead of getting like 2,000 individuals.
Hey, thanks to the last short that I shot about the cult, Brian, I am prepared for the end of days.
Why?
Because for the short, I needed like 12 cases of water.
Really?
Still got it. It's all in my closet. All in my water closet. I'm
fingers
calling it a water
crossed.
Closet. I got gas masks, Brian. I got canned foods, canned goods.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a gun.
You gotta do something. You gotta do something with it.
Beretta, 9mm. Hello, tips.
Someone got some Passion Lubes natural water-based lubricant, an enema bag, Trojan condoms.
What? Brian,
something called an insulation multimeter. It's like a stud finder is.
Colostomy bag was bought.
Right. This is a thing that you can tell how you can test your insulation by breaking into your walls.
That's great. Helpful. I didn't hear anything. I'm stuck.
Sorry.
All right, that's your music. You're done.
Nope. And someone got a a KitchenAid mixer and a Google Chromecast. Thank you. Movies.
If I didn't talk at all, you would have hit the post. It would be
sweet. I know.
Sweet.
It ruined it.
I apologize. Here are the movies that were clicked through since last time. Blue Ruin. I was reading about the new one, Green Room, just today, Brian. Can't wait for Green Room.
There's a new one?
The director's next film, yeah. Oh, it's going to be good. Green Room. Harmontown was clicked through. I need to watch that Harmontown documentary about the... you've seen Harmontown, right? No? Well, you haven't seen anything, Logan. What's wrong with you?
I've seen a lot of old foreign films lately.
X-Men, Days of Future Past, Beetlejuice was clicked through. I appreciate that. Why have you not seen Birdman? Why have you not seen Birdman yet?
Maybe I have.
Why have you not seen Birdman?
Maybe I have.
If you saw Birdman and didn't flip-fest it, there's something seriously wrong with you.
It's all right.
With your brain. Event Horizon. Oh, what the creepy, creepy log that was talking about. Goon was clicked through. Love that Goon, Brian.
So upsetting.
Goon is fantastic. A movie about hockey. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Amazon.com. Snowpiercer. Interesting premise.
Coming out
in
video next week.
Synecdoche, New York. Everyone tells me it's Schenectady. It's spelled differently than Schenectady.
Yeah,
so
New York City.
Synecdoche, New York, which was a huge letdown. Charlie Kaufman finally got to direct a movie, and he had Philip Seymour Hoffman in it, and there was green poop, and I remember my wife leaning over. She was not my wife yet, and she goes, "Really, you brought me to another one of these movies?"
It's like, that's right.
I thought it was going to be good, honey.
Love
I'm sorry.
You.
Green poop. The bridge, after we talked about the bridge. Oh, we talked about the bridge and the after disaster.
Oh, no.
Horrifying.
Good. Oh, yeah, I heard
The
that.
Exorcist, 40th anniversary, Waltz with Bashir. I still need to see that. And Zodiac, the best movie without an ending.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for clicking through. We appreciate it. And then back to the show. Hi, I'm Alan Alda, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Yeah. Welcome back.
Welcome to Grandpa Death Watch. 2014.
Oh, that's not funny.
How's he doing? Seriously.
Not well.
No?
No, it's not good. Mm-hmm. My last surviving grandparents. Mm-hmm. You know that? Isn't that weird? You get to that point in your life where you no more grandparents?
I haven't had any in mind for...
That's why I asked
since
you.
I was 12
weird.
Years old.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You are listening to a number of different feature artists this week. Logan, what's going on with feature artists? So we're shaking it up?
Yeah, we're taking a little bit of a different approach to the feature artist. I was recently going through every feature artist that we've had recently, which has been hundreds at this point, and realized that there's some great music back there, and this would be a great opportunity to revisit some of those by just, instead of featuring one artist each episode, we're going to just feature all of them.
Okay. Number one, that allows us to revisit some old favorites. Number two, if you're a feature artist and you have less, usually we have like six songs, we can do the ins and outs for all the segments. If you have a couple songs, three songs, less than six.
Yeah, you don't have to have six of them.
Yeah, send them
it's
along.
Like one of those
we'll recommend.
Gas station CDs.
Yeah, an EP.
Compilation.
An EP.
All right, here we go. Top five teachers.
AndersonandBrian.com.
Honestly, I apologize. I wish you didn't bring it up. It's not really nice to let me know that your grandfather is spitting
out
blood.
Oh, that's not nice of me?
Yeah, it wasn't very nice of you on the program.
I really apologize.
It would have been nice to do it like in between segments.
You had my phone.
You were filled with distractions today.
That's right. Well, giant turbo.
Got your goddamn TV on the left.
Sorry,
GD TV. You got the grandpa. Why didn't you say we should do the show? We're doing the show short week, too.
True.
And here early Tuesday. Why? For Brian.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate
always.
It.
Is this a power move with you?
No, no, no.
Always moving around, demanding.
No, I'm amenable.
Do it here
I'm amenable. I'm amenable.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to be affable. I was just trying to be affable. No?
No.
It's from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Top five teachers. A list that I can't wait to get to.
So let's get to it.
All right, cool. Go ahead, Brad. My number five. This is a movie I did not enjoy. I was told that I was going to like it. Critics enjoyed it thoroughly.
Okay.
I remember watching it shortly after it came out because I can remember exactly where I was living. I was living down. It doesn't matter. That's not important. What is important is the movie is called Half Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Half Nelson. This is starring Ryan Gosling, Sharika Epps, and Anthony Mackie.
This is a solid performance in an otherwise forgettable movie.
Ryan Gosling, have you seen this?
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling plays Dan Dunn, or is it Dune? D-U-N-N-E.
I think it's Dunn.
I can't remember. I remember very little about this movie. Dan Dunn, who is a crack-addicted high school teacher.
He might not be addicted. He's an enthusiast.
He's addicted. Okay. When it's taking, when
it's hooked.
Having effects on your personal life, on your work life, and there's grave consequences as a result, and you continue to go back to the well, Bri, that means you're an addict.
I truly remember
I learned that
little
from a
what?
Little man named Dr.
Oh,
Phil.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's odd that it wasn't a guy you worked with. But it's odd that I remember nothing about this movie aside from Ryan Gosling doing drugs and rambling.
Do you remember the critics loving it?
Yeah.
Top 10 of the decade.
Wasn't he nominated for Best Actor?
So he was great in it. I do like Ryan Gosling. He's a phenomenal actor. And he was nominated for an Oscar for this role. And there's a lot of melodrama, to say the least. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a high school after school special. Mm-hmm. Remember those? Do you remember those?
I remember,
like in the 80s,
they were a little before
apps.
My time. But I
right
remember
when kids are coming home, they're gonna be flipping on the old boob tube, and
so
we should make some programs to show them the dangers of being a child. But a lot of role reversal because, like, one of his students, she was trying to get him, like, off the drugs, or while he was trying to get her from selling the drugs. Right. And there's a very ridiculous ending, if I recall, where you see it coming from a mile away, and it's like, ah, don't. Kind of like when the guy goes to a strip joint and his wife is stripping, kind of along the same vein. Right. I did not like this movie. Can't tell. It was just dripping with saccharine and sanctimonious.
Yeah, I certainly considered it for my list only because I remember the great performance, but the movie itself is so forgettable.
But how many crack addict teachers do you have on your list, Brian? I got one.
Well, let me see.
Dan Dunn.
I'm going to guess it's not very many.
Plus, you know what else?
Hold on. Crack addict.
Brian, that's funny. I had a, because I floated around, this is going to be shocking to you, but numerous junior colleges.
What?
Yeah, probably went to six or seven of them.
Why?
Just toured the Southland.
Couldn't find the one right for you.
Well, each one had a whole new crop of very
crack addicted
young ladies who were affable, who were willing.
Welcoming.
They were interested in experimenting.
Accommodating.
But I had this one professor in particular. It was a math class, algebra.
No wonder you watched Citizen Kane so many times.
Algebra, like nine. This is all before film school. I toiled, Brian, and I never understood why people were so excited to get done with college. Make it last, kids. It's enjoyable. You get to set your own schedule.
You're like the guy.
You live off the government's funds and grants and loans, and you just keep drinking. And
keep accumulating debt.
Yeah, that's all right. It's cool. You'll get a film podcast later in life that helps pay down.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're like the guy who chooses to stay in the minor leagues because he likes going to local bars.
Yeah.
It's like, eh,
I like the lifestyle.
Leave?
I had no interest in like getting fast tracking. I spent like 4 or 5 years just to, plus I broke my back and I
had some
drug issues and but it was fun. So I went to many schools and some good, some of these junior colleges actually better than the actual 4 years, I can tell you that. But one in particular, this poor teacher, he was so fucked up every single day. And this is when I was doing meth, so I'm like, my professor, it's weird because he's like in his late 40s, early 50s,
right?
He's like a meth head. He's like, it might not be meth, but he's doing
he's tweaking.
Yeah, he's tweaking on it's probably he gets
prescription.
A prescription. But so every day he would just be sweating and like was stuttering and just no self-confidence. One day he just wasn't there, and like one of the faculty comes in and says, your teacher has taken a permanent leave and you'll have no class today, but you get a new one. And it was I saw a lot of my old algebra teacher in that Dan Dunn. But Half Nelson, if we didn't sell it, it's because it's not worthy of all the goddamn praise it got. I didn't buy the kids. I didn't buy that side of the story. It just...
The movie was all about his hair.
A lot of handheld.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
All right.
So number five for me.
Half Nelson, uninspired choice.
A film that amazingly has never been on a single one of my lists, as far as I can tell, except top five movies to ban from the other person's list because
You son of a bitch.
It was your number one narrated film.
Son of a bitch.
It was your number five funniest female performances, and it was on movies that break the fourth wall. Talk about election.
How is this not higher on your list?
Jim McAllister?
No.
Matthew Broderick?
Yeah. It's just...
The only reason it's not higher because it does come up on the show a lot. Such a great character. I don't want to spend too much time on it.
Such a great... And it was such genius in the casting of putting Ferris Bueller.
That's right.
The famous high school student.
As the slowly... Oh, not even slowly. The rapidly unraveling teacher.
Middle age. Unraveling. Yeah. A midlife crisis.
That's right.
High school teacher. Out gray place, hairs.
Failed in a way. Did you call his life failed?
Failed, yeah.
Yeah. He starts out as a model teacher.
It was definitely a failed life. This is, for my money, this is still the best movie that I'm drawing a blank. Alexander Payne has made.
Mm.
It, my favorite. I'm not allowed to talk about it, though. I've been
all right, so let me talk.
Okay, sorry, bud.
He, Jim McAllister, played Matthew Broderick.
This
Mr.
is like
McAllister.
Watching you with like a girl, ex-girlfriend of mine.
Why? Oh, because I'm with them talking about election?
Yeah,
enjoy
and I can't.
It.
I'm not allowed to.
Election, I do good things to you, right? Tell me about your ex. Yeah. They have a bigger dick than
me. Hey, Brian.
No, he didn't. It's barely half the size.
Come on, Brian.
He starts out as a model teacher and a citizen. He's a resident of Omaha, Nebraska. He's married. He's trying for a baby. He goes for a swim every morning. He helps run the student government. And yet all of it's undone, Anderson, by his irrational, petty hatred of Tracy Flick.
Flick.
Pick Flick.
He's a good guy. He
the
means well.
The ambitious would-be student president.
He means well.
Does he, though?
He does. I mean, he does some very questionable things. He makes some poor choices.
I believe he wants to do what he thinks is right. I believe he is a man of principle.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, like, extramarital stuff.
Well, I don't think that's right.
He means well, though. Huh. He's an identifiable character. He was by no means a miscreant or somebody that you hated. And I love the randomness, like when he got stung by the bee.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
No, it's one more thing to bring his character down a notch from this perfect sort of, not perfect, but a little quaint, idyllic lifestyle.
Remember the kid who says it's a squeaker, Mr. McGuire?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's a squeaker. And then he sees him and he spits on his car. That kid, that actor is in that show Review.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Check our review.
It's a squeaker.
It's a squeaker.
Number four for you.
Number four for me. This is an oldie but goodie. 1987. I'm going to be honest. This is one of the weeks where I wish we were doing top three. Because my top three are solid, Brian. Solid! My number five and four.
Okay.
This is a movie. I'm happy to talk about Summer School on this year program.
I've never seen Summer
School. Summer School's never been discussed on this year program.
I've never seen it.
1987. Carl Reiner directed this.
Okay.
It's a sweet little, cute little movie. I'm talking about Mr. Freddie Shoup, Brian. Mr. Freddie Shoup, played by Mark Harmon.
He wore the Hawaiian shirts, right?
He's got a lot of issues himself. He's like pretty much a growing kid. He's like a gym teacher, but he essentially got assigned
cool
summer school himself. He didn't want to, but he had to for some unforeseen reason. So he is like king of all of the losers, king of all the Andersons of the high school.
Right.
And he's got like chainsaw in there and he ends up learning and, doing
Chainsaw
the old
one of the characters?
Chainsaw's one of the characters. Great. Francis Chainsaw Gremp, played by Dean Cameron. I don't know. I meant to look up Dean Cameron. Dean Cameron's doing these days. Brian, the game is fucking over.
I know.
There goes my no saying fuck, but it's...
There it goes. I'm right on top of
my neck is hurting
Dean Cameron.
From watching you whip your neck.
Dean Cameron.
Whip your head.
My neck hurts.
It's 7-1, folks.
With two outs, two strikes in the ninth.
And you just can't stop whipping your bald head.
Hunter Strickland was throwing in the high 90s.
So anyways, Summer School. It's a fun little movie.
Mm.
It's cute. And he's the kind of teacher that I would have loved to have had, but never did. He learns how to get them to be motivated,
right,
which was bribing them with doing favors, essentially. But it's a fun movie. It's one of the movies from the high school movies from the mid-80s that
right,
I don't think gets enough talk. It deserves
to
be.
No, I don't think I've ever seen more than 5 minutes of this.
I can recommend, especially if you're of that era, if you're like in your 30s, or if you want to see what things used to be like there, kids, way back in the old 80s. But Summer School,
okay,
my number four choice.
Number four for me.
Enough of the softball pitches here.
Number four for me. I'm getting into the ones I really, really enjoy now. So Jim McAllister was sort of an obligatory pick. How can you not talk about a great movie with a great character?
Because it was banned I'm not allowed
you
to.
Number four for me. He's admittedly a very minor character. However, he's on the list solely because his lines are amongst the funniest in the movie. We're talking about Mr. Garrison from South Park.
Yeah.
Mr. Garrison.
I almost did this to you, too. But I've been doing it with The Simpsons and I think South Park, putting you know, characters and putting them on my top five when it's no one from the TV show, but there's carryover to the movie, so it's kind of a cheat. But anytime anyone wants to talk about Mr. Garrison in my presence, I'm
well, how about this?
I'm a better person for it.
The TV show had only been around for 2 years, so the movie was kind of America's introduction
really?
To mainstream America.
No.
Yeah.
Bigger, longer, uncut.
97 was when it first came out. It was when the TV show first came out, and 99 was when the movie came out.
Really?
Maybe 2.5 years, but I remember it being like a summer movie.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, Mr. Garrison has lines like, I'm sorry, Wendy, I just don't trust anything that bleeds for 5 days and doesn't die. He also says, okay, now let's try and get an answer from someone who's not a complete retard. And I can't wait to leave so I can get me some fucking poontang.
Yeah, Mr. Garrison's one of my favorites.
Mr. Garrison is comic relief in a movie that doesn't need any comic relief. He's fucking hysterical. Doesn't have that much screen time, but makes it count.
Complex Garrison. Character, too, if you watch the show. Complex.
I don't watch the show, but I understand he had a sex change.
He didn't have a sex change.
And then went back.
He ended up going to Lesbo's, which was a bar that he frequented, mm-hmm. and then that bar got taken over. I believe it was Armenians that took it over. He became enraged, Brian, and they did a whole 300 parody there.
Right.
Yes. Mr. Garrison, he's one of the, on a show and a movie that is chock full of fantastic characters, Mr. Garrison's top five.
Okay.
Top five characters, South Park characters.
Trey Parker.
Trey Parker. God, he's great. Good choice, Brian.
Thanks, buddy. Number four for you.
Number four for me. Going to a completely different route here. Changing gears. Talking about a movie that I actually allowed myself to like back in 1995. Saw this a few times in the theaters. This is right in the era, back in that era, Brian, where I was living at that one theater, dating the manager of the theater mm-hmm. and seeing everything that came through the pipeline.
Twice.
This is a movie that a teenage Anderson would hate, but a early 20s Anderson, mm-hmm. he let it into his heart. Mr. Holland's Opus.
No.
Mr. Holland's
no.
Opus.
I didn't like this movie, but again, I was a teenager when I saw it.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's a biography of the 30-year career of Mr. Glenn Holland, a music teacher at a fictional John F. Kennedy High School in Portland, Oregon. The movie was shot in and around Portland, Oregon, directed by Stephen Herrick, which was the main problem. He's a very hokey director. He did Bill and Ted, which I love. He did Critters. Mm. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, 101 Dalmatians, the live-action one with Glenn Close. So, now, what he's got here, this material is very, it's a grand sweeping epic. It starts in 1965 and comes all the way up to what was then present day, 1995, spans 30 years in this man's career. What it was is he's a failed artist. He had this opus, he had these dreams of having his own orchestra and conducting and being, you know, somebody of substance. Instead, he took the standard, if you can't do, teach. Mm. Steady paycheck.
Did he start off as like taking the teaching job to like fill time while he was doing real music, and then it didn't happen?
It was he wanted to get a steady paycheck because he was getting married and this and that. And the next thing you know, it's 30 years later. He ends up having a deaf son.
That's right. Cole,
how do you remember that?
That's the one part of the movie I remember super well, was when the kid went deaf, or they discovered the kid was deaf.
Terrence Howard is a young high school student in this movie,
oh, really?
Which I recall, because that was back when I was on a big Terrence Howard kick. I was going and watching all everything he was in. Love Terrence Howard. He's falling off the map for me. Terrence, where mm-hmm. are you going?
Where are you going?
He was the black Benicio del Toro back then. That's how I saw him.
Benicio.
But this movie is just rife.
Del Negro?
Right. Rife with sentiment. And melodrama, and it worked for me somehow. I'm embarrassed
to admit it. So you saw it again.
I saw it at least twice in theaters. Might have seen it three times.
Really?
Yeah. And I realize it's not a good movie, and I realize it's one of those, and I shouldn't say that, it's not a great movie. It's one of those movies that's telling you how to feel with the music, ironically, because it's a movie about music, and they're using the score to tell me like if I should be sad here, happy here. Yet I just kind of went with it. And
interesting.
Because I love Dreyfuss.
Dreyfuss was never such to be on your list.
I love Richard Dreyfuss. I really do. And if you actually look at the storyline and the structure of it, it's actually a brilliant, brilliant screenplay.
No.
It is a fantastic screenplay.
You have to go back and watch Mr. Holland's Opus.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Because it was directed by somewhat of a hokey director. It just wasn't the right marriage.
Gotcha.
As far as I could tell. If this was in the hands of somebody who knew how to, you know, dance around melodrama and not be so in your face with it.
Dive in.
But you don't have to be, because most people are going to lap it up. Most people are going to enjoy a good melodramatic story. Mm. You know what I mean? They're not making the movie for you or me.
It's true.
But this
is obviously work for you.
I enjoyed the story enough, and it all came together as, Mr. Holland's Opus. Richard fucking Dreyfuss. Gotta love him. He wasn't up for anything significant.
I don't believe he was.
I think
he should have been up for best. Sappy.
Best. He should have been up for best something. I think it was just nothing. Nothing important. Yeah, nothing. The hell! I read all this shit. I don't even take notes on it.
Right. Nothing coming back to you.
Anyhow. Yeah.
Number three for me. Number three.
Number three for you.
I couldn't help but think, Anderson, while I was watching Fury, how it reminded me of a lot of other war movies at different times. But more than anything, it reminded me a lot of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
That's just the kid who's thrust into a combat situation who has no business being there.
Fury would have been much better if Saving Private Ryan didn't exist.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I can see that. Unfortunately, it does exist, and it's a much better movie. And it's number three because Captain John Miller.
He was nominated for a goddamn Oscar.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
No.
He was great.
Movie?
He was great. Yes. Richard Dreyfuss was
You're
nominated for an Oscar.
You're shitting me.
No, I'm not.
You shit me.
Brian, stop it.
Shit.
Best actor in a leading role. Richard Dreyfuss. 1996. Oscar nominated, but not won. Okay.
Back to number three for me.
Sorry.
Captain John Miller, played by Tom Hanks from Saving Private Ryan, is a school teacher.
Oh, come
it's
on.
It's ironic.
Cheat.
It's not a cheat. Here's the thing.
Is he
you
teaching?
Never actually see him teach,
no.
Obviously, in a classroom
this
setting.
A
but here's the thing. There's an ongoing... Anderson, pay attention.
Why are you trying to be so cute right there?
No, not at all. This is actually an important part of the film. There's an ongoing mystery in the film of like what Captain Miller, what Captain Miller does. They're like, no one knows what the captain does. There's an ongoing pot. We all have money in it. It's 300 to 300 bucks, which in World War II is a lot of money, especially amongst the GIs. And they're like, no one, first got to get it out of him wins.
That's $6,000 today.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so they all got money in there. And like, first got to get it out of him wins. And he's tight-lipped about it. And at one point in the movie, all the unit, the platoon, the squad is threatening to disintegrate. Ed Burns is trying to walk away. He's just going to desert them. Mm-hmm. Tom Sizemore points a loaded gun at him. He's like, get back in there. And they're having an argument. And everyone's freaking out. And there's this whole thing. And Tom Hanks diffuses the situation by explaining that he's a school teacher. And it just disarms everyone because it's been this big secret that no one knows. And he's like, oh, I'm a school teacher. I'm from this little town in Pennsylvania. I teach English composition. I coach baseball in the spring.
Right.
He's like, I don't even know if my wife will recognize me when I come home. I don't know if I can go home this
life. It kind of reminds everyone else from where they came
from. It
does.
It reminds
people.
Takes
them out of war, back to humanity.
Yeah. It reminds people there's a life outside of this. You've been in this crazy combat situation, albeit it mixed in between some kind of dumb kind of moments, but you've been in this crazy combat situation in this movie so thus far, and you're like, oh yeah, there's another world out there.
Dumb
there's a
moments?
Home somewhere.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie, but it's not a perfect movie because it kind of ebbs
Spiely.
And flows. Yeah, it's got...
Spiely likes to pander.
There's some pandering.
A lot of pandering.
Pandering.
That's the problem. That's my problem with Spiely. A lot of you guys give me shit. Spiely knows how to make the perfect movie for me. Mm. Probably for himself, too. But he'd rather make a movie for Dumb Fuck Joe. He does. You know why? Dumb Fuck Joe's going to pay twice. That's why.
So, yeah.
But yeah, it's a very, very good movie.
It's a good reveal, and it's a great moment because he's... You sort of see him now.
I apologize to all listeners named Joe.
The leader and the hero of this, the de facto hero, as a de facto twice now.
I think
the
it's a
hero
cheat.
Of this film, of this unit, and he's like, oh, that's the leader of men.
It's a plot device that you just use.
It is.
And gave it away as well, and it's a cheat because he's not actually a teacher in the film.
Under his tax form that year, he listed teacher as occupation.
I think he also put VA.
Nope.
I think he probably also got some benefits from the vet.
It's all teacher's pension.
Number two for me.
I know how it works in Avenette, Pennsylvania.
Number two for me. This is a film that came up on another list. I don't remember which.
Am I going to break?
Oh, yeah, we're going to break.
Yeah, number two.
I
number
forgot
three.
How show, the show
on.
Works.
Come on. You're so eager.
How does the show work?
So eager.
My top two are good ones.
All right.
Can't wait for number one.
Come up next.
There may be clips.
Clips. Two word, Jameson. Can you guess what they are?
I'm hungry.
Ooh, very close. Free snacks.
Ooh.
Free snacks is the answer to I'm hungry.
Right now? Can I have them?
If you go online, go to naturebox.com. We're going to give you the chance to get free snacks, everybody. Do yourself a favor. Naturebox.com is where you go to get some free snacks. Free of artificial flavors, free of colors, free of sweeteners, free of trans fat, and free of high fructose corn syrup. You can't do much better than that. And truthfully, these are very, very good. They sent us a whole bunch of samples, and they are quite delicious. My favorite was the Southwestern almonds. Ooh, nice sort of barbecue Southwestern flavor. Anderson, do you have a particular favorite?
They give you actual whole chunks of actual pineapple, like the circular kind.
Yeah.
Not the like the little ones, like triangular chunks, actual full circle cored dried pineapple. Mm. I felt like a king.
So yeah, like we said, free snacks. To start your free trial, naturebox.com/TFE. Stay full, stay strong. Go to naturebox.com/TFE for your free trial box of delicious snacks. Bad news, Anderson. Hmm. Well, good news and bad news. Bad news that I wasn't able to challenge any listeners this week on drafting because I woke up late on Sunday and wasn't able to get into any of their challenges. Good news, though, because I drafted a great team, scored 140-some points, and would have dominated just about anybody who challenged me. So good news for you. If you'd like to challenge me, Bald Brian on DraftKings. Check me out there, DraftKings.com. Enter code TFE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter TFV for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
Thank goodness football season is finally here. And no matter what you're into, we've got you covered. We've got the self-titled Ross Tucker Football Podcast. If you want to know what's going on in the NFL, we've got the Fantasy Feast. If you want to make sure you are best prepared for your fantasy team this year, or how about the Even Money Podcast? For those of you that like to wager on the games.
Available now.
Available now.
At podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Yeah. Welcome back. In this episode, you'll hear music from Schultz, Greater Pacific, Marius Paxcow, Cody Hoffman, The Heatheners, and FM Pilots. Thanks all you guys for being some of our best feature artists. We could dip back into the well and come up with something solid. Thanks you guys.
FM Anderson, Pilots.
FM Pilots.
What do you think that FM stands for?
Frequency Modulation.
Fuck me, Pilots.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh. You should have swore to say that word anymore.
I know.
Pilots. And here you are saying it.
All right. Let's go. Top two here.
Number two. For you.
Teachers. Now, you love your teachers so much. I could see why.
Why?
You're the type of kid that goes to school and goes, what are you going to teach me now, teacher?
You read my book. I was a horrible student.
What conventional wisdom are you going to shove down my throat that I'll readily accept now?
You read my book. You know how bad a student I was.
You liked your teachers, though.
I did.
You respected them. You looked up to them.
I did.
Unless they broke the rules.
They were God fixtures.
Unless they broke the rules.
That's right. Yeah. And then I was furious.
See what I'm saying, Brian? That's why you love your teachers. You love them. So that we're going to do at least one more iteration of teachers?
What do you mean?
Incarnation. We're going to do
iteration.
We're going to do professors.
Professors.
Christ almighty. All right, number two. This is a film that was talked about not too long ago on this program. Okay. I believe it was, didn't we do like character reversals or?
We did spiraling out of control, unravelings.
The movie is 1951, the Browning version. Now, there's also a remake, I believe it was in the 80s, which I still.
The Browning version?
The Browning version.
I know. I normally don't pay attention when you talk, but I have no recollection of this.
Really? No idea of the Browning version. There's a remake of this, which usually I'm against the remake, but Albert Finney plays the professor in the remake.
Okay.
And I do want to see that. It's hard to track down, though. But the Browning version, can you remember how I stumbled across this? I stumbled across it a few years ago. This is a movie that really studies the entire scope of the idea of a man, the idea of a teacher, and his own faults, and him coming to terms with that. And it's such a well-told story. It's such a sweet story. It takes place in a boys' school in the time, 1950s. And it's just one of those movies where you'll never forget. You'll never forget the character, the main, Michael Redgrave, as the embittered Andrew Crocker Harris. And it's just very sweet. It was originally written as a one-act play, and it was expanded upon and directed by Anthony Asquith and written by Terrence Rattigan. This is a movie that it is older, 1951. I know that the remake has similar, a little bit lesser, but similar critical response, which is high. And it's just one of those movies that sweeps you up, and you really get involved in the story. And it's all about this failed teacher who had bigger aspirations, like much like Mr. Holland, There's a theme here, Brian. It's getting cathartic.
Okay.
Getting cathartic over here. And, you know, he's kind of just all the teachers, all the faculty as well as students kind of see him one way. He's on the precipice right. Of retirement. And, you know, he's kind of been lying to himself all these years.
Right.
Living in this false world of denial. And it all kind of comes to a realization. He comes to a realization of who he really is, what he really is, how he's perceived, and then works through that. And there's a student involved, and it's just it's a beautiful little movie. The Brown Inversion.
A high percentage of teachers on my list and teachers that I considered on my also-rans are portrayed as teacher being fallback, you know what I mean? Like wanted to be something else, failed writer, failed this or that, and ended up teaching. And I wonder if that's a movie cliche or what percentage of the actual population that represents.
Oh, 1994 was when the remake was made. Mm-hmm. I need to track that down. The remake. In my own experiences, this is going to sound bad. Now, I have family members who are teachers and professors, mm-hmm. and they love it. And they did it because they wanted to do it. And I think a lot of you who are professors and teachers, you hear me miss movies. Mm-hmm. You start out doing it because you want to do it. Hey, you love the whole rhythm of it. You're the kids that usually mm-hmm. excelled in school because the teachers need to get crazy amounts of degrees and whatnot and go into steep debt, which is crazy because of the amount of money you get paid. It's just absurd.
Not a lot.
Yeah, so I can't believe there's as many of you as there are.
But it's a noble profession.
A lot of you want to do the right thing, but you see the same shit every single year, and it's just you're going to get burnt out.
Mm.
And I saw plenty of teachers who were completely burnt out, should not have been teaching anymore, didn't want to be there, despised
didn't
us.
Didn't like kids.
We were the problem. I was the problem.
Shocking number of teachers don't like kids.
I know. They learn to hate you.
They outright hate children.
And what I really disliked was like the ones that were just like, they get like the cliff notes on you and they know like how you were the year before.
Yeah,
and they
wouldn't even give you a chance.
Wouldn't give you a shot.
Well, for you,
but
it was right.
I think most of them want to do it and they just end up getting jaded. Like with a lot of professions, but it's pretty easy to write that into a character. And now, you know what? After I really don't think that many of them like really wanted to do this, but oh, they can't. So there's going to be teachers.
Okay,
I don't think
so.
What do you think? I think it is a movie cliche.
Judging from people I know who are teachers, I would say that's not very common. But judging from all the movie cliches you see, it's very common.
Yeah,
I don't
agree.
Know if that's true or not.
And we you know, by the time you graduate high school, you will have dealt with probably, I don't know, 15 teachers?
At least.
You've had at least 15?
At least.
25 teachers? Mm-hmm. And I would say the majority of those, they wanted to teach from the beginning.
That sounds about right.
But I only have like two or three that I remember their names and love them.
True.
Very few.
The only remember the ones you love and hate. All the ones in the middle, that middle 80%, don't care about.
Mr. Slack.
Or don't remember.
Mr. Slack. I love that guy.
I had a Mr. Slack.
Mr. Slack. Was your favorite teacher English?
No, in eighth grade, I had a teacher who taught leadership. It was an elective, and it was like all outside the box thinking projects. It was a very non-traditional class. Uh-huh. Changed my life. It was the one first class I ever really enjoyed. Mr. Campbell.
You're such a follower.
Was it? Mr. Carroll. No, Wayne Carroll. No, Mr. Anthony. His middle name is Carroll. Wayne Carroll Anthony. Mr. Anthony. Leadership, man. It was a great class, and it was all outside the box thinking, and I was that kind of ADD kid who couldn't focus on school, and I was a really bad student. It was the first class I got like straight A's in. I took it twice. Loved it.
Andrew Crocker Harris, played by the bisexual Michael Redgrave. Mm-hmm. In fact, everyone involved in this production, apparently, writer, director, actor, all known for being closeted homosexual.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Hollywood, Anderson.
Closeted homosexual. Sexuals.
All right, two for me. Ah, I am excited by number one and number two. Number two. I don't know if it's Jean or Jean. I'll say Jean. No, Jean is more of a badass name. Jean Raschik? Raschik? Fuck, I fucked up the name. Jean Raschik. Michael Ironside is Lieutenant Jean Raschik in Starship Troopers. Mm-hmm. Starts out as a high school teacher. He's this kind of hard-ass, right. One-armed high school civics teacher, mm-hmm. lecturing on the importance of being a citizen versus being a civilian.
Right.
And next thing you know, you literally, you know, you're in battle, and this guy's your fucking lieutenant, mm-hmm. and he's a badass. And by the way, the people love and respect him, because when Jake Busey says to one of the new recruits, or one of the people who've been there a long time, he's the new recruit, he says, okay. Heard the lieutenant's a real nutbuster. Uh-huh. Her response, punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Don't you ever talk to the lieutenant that way.
Don't you talk badly about my one-armed
That's right.
leader.
Is he on your list?
No. He was on my also-rans for recently, I think, for physically disabled. He wasn't really disabled.
Well, he was. He had one arm. He could park in the handicap spot. He loved, respected by his team, blah, blah, blah. And then he leads the team into battle. So he goes from teacher to, like, you know, literally teaching Johnny Rico on the battlefield. Takes him under his wing. He teaches him a bunch of lessons on the battlefield. In a way.
Johnny Rico became Tarzan. That's
and they manifest themselves later in the film, like shooting a hopeless comrade or calling his team the Roughnecks. Even some of his catchphrases catch on. God, I love Star Troopers. Available at SniffTracks, by the way.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. That was the last SniffTracks we did.
It might have been.
2.5 hours. Does it stand up on its own, I wonder? Listening to that SniffTracks back?
Oh, I disagree.
I don't know. Does it?
I cannot imagine that.
I think it does. I know that a lot of people said that the first one that we did,
The Human Centipede,
you could listen to that without actually watching the movie. And it was an enjoy. It was like an extra episode.
Huh.
People enjoyed it.
If it is, maybe I'll do it again.
All right. We did. So, wait, you.
That's number two.
You have one, and but I wanted to end.
Oh, maybe we have the same, one?
I doubt it. Okay. Is yours alive or dead?
The actor or the
actor,
character?
The actor.
Very much alive.
Okay. Mine's very much dead.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Lupus. Yes, go ahead.
You said Lupus?
Go ahead.
Because my character's name is Lucas.
Oh.
Lucas.
Look at that.
Played by Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, look at that.
The Hunt.
Great.
How's it on your list?
Because the movies, first of all, he's not my favorite teacher ever.
Okay.
And we've talked a lot about
The Hunt. He's a great character who happens to be a teacher.
We've talked quite a bit about The Hunt lately. You know what I mean?
Have?
Yeah. You just saw it recently at Flickfest. I've been talking about it for a long time.
Probably a year ago.
We love The Hunt.
I do love The Hunt.
Hunt gets a lot of love.
Very good movie. This was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars.
Don't watch the trailer, kids. Don't watch it.
Oh, is it give too much away?
Oh, yeah. We've had this full conversation. Is there a brain and tumor in your head?
Oh, shit. Directed by Thomas Vinterberg.
Sorry.
And this is about a kindergarten teacher named Lucas, who is, by all appearances, a decent and upstanding citizen.
Uh-huh.
Then one of his students do what kindergartners do, makes up a story totally out of thin air, and claims that he exposed himself to her, which got me thinking, The Danes is a Danish movie. The Danes must be extremely trusting of children because all kids lie all the time.
This same scenario done out here. Imagine, bro.
I don't know.
This is our new culture. Worldwide.
Kids lie, man.
Maybe not in the Middle East. I don't know if they really care.
Anyway, poor Lucas is
That was offensive on a grand scale. I apologize to anyone listening from the Middle East. I'm sure you guys would care if one of your teachers showed their penis to a child.
They don't have teachers out there.
Right.
Lucas's life begins to spiral out of control. He's shunned by everyone in the community, Anderson, including his girlfriend, his hunting buddies. Mm-hmm. And I love the ending. Oh, can I talk about the
ending? The ending is great, and if you see the trailer, it's not going to be nearly as great. It's still going to be great, but they show it to you in the trailer.
No.
Yes. Here we go. My number one.
The Hunt.
I'm just going to have the Logan.
I'm pretty sure The Hunt's streaming.
It's a minute, and it's a 96-second clip I have
God.
Here. Yeah. And I saved all my clips for one, so we can do this.
Okay.
Soon as I heard teacher, I went straight to this man.
Okay.
He is, without a doubt, the teacher in cinema that I think of the most.
Okay.
Who I quote the most. I quote this whole conversation quite often. It's one that keeps on giving. One is, you'll hear two actors. Actually, three. But one, he's got 151 credits to his name. He is, in fact, the teacher. And the other man is a celebrated actor who's won many, many awards. Still acting today. Here we go, play the clip. Number one on the old 360.
In 1904, the United States decided to throw a little weight around and...
Well, I can't hear it because it's in yours and not mine.
Put it in three.
Who is it?
Mr. Pizza Guy.
Again?
Mr. Pizza Guy, sir.
Ah.
Kill his mic. It's too good for that.
Who ordered the deviled cheese and sausage?
Right here, dude.
Paying for his pizza.
Here you go, dude.
They paid for his pizza.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you are doing?
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
You know, I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly, there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front. Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. Be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one.
Get a good one. Get a good one. Feels it. That's all. It's just more people taking pizza. No more line. Mr. Hand.
Doesn't end with what a dick.
No, that was, I think, something else.
Oh, okay. Thought that was,
I think that was when he came in and threw him out, ripped something up, and I remember he had a bagel on his waistband at that point.
Ray Walston, who was on my list for top five portrayals, the devil.
Topping about 1986's Fast Times Ridgemont High, Ray Walston, 1980.
81.
No, the TV show is 86, yes, okay. Of course, 1981. 82, actually, it was 1982.
Okay, it was off by a year.
God, this man who died of lupus a few years back, Ray Walston, he has been in so many effing things. Seventh Heaven, Brian. Touched by an Angel, Brian.
Don't cover his fucking TV shows. Yeah. He was in
Alan McBeal, Swing Vote, Star Trek Voyager. My
he
favorite
was in the
Martian
original of Mice and
Most
Men.
Most people remember him from my favorite Martian. That's right, Brian. He wasn't of Mice and Men. He played Candy.
He was in Damn Yankees, which is on my list of portrayals of the devil.
Parker Lewis Can't Lose, Brian.
Was he in Cocoon?
Remember Parker Lewis Can't Lose? He was not in Cocoon. Don't be an oldest. Don't be an oldest.
I could have sworn he was.
He was in the horror film Popcorn, Brian.
Wow. You're going over his entire list.
21 Jump Street, the original television program, Brian. He was Judge Desmond.
Let's cut all this out.
Saint Elsewhere, Brian. Yes.
Thank you for going over his.
Ray Walston.
Semi-obscure TV show.
He was in Rad.
Oh, boy.
1986 is Rad. He was in a short-lived Fast Times TV series. Mm-hmm. Yes. Silver Spoons, Brian?
This isn't going well.
He was in Johnny Dangerously. Remember Johnny Dangerously?
No.
With Michael Keaton?
Never saw it.
It wasn't very good. He was in The Love Boat. The Love Boat. He was in The Love Boat, bro. He was in New Heart.
Are we doing this?
And Heart to Heart.
Are we doing this?
He was in The Jerk 2.
I hate everything about these TV shows.
Did you know that there was a Jerk 2?
I didn't know that, actually.
Made for TV. And it's spelled T-O-O. Very clever.
Remember when we agreed that the show was too long?
Remember when we agreed to fire Logan?
I do remember that, actually. That I remember.
Buck Rogers, the 21st Century, Brian. He was in that. Popeye. The movie, Popeye. Anyways, Mr. Hand is, to me, the epitome of high school teachers.
Okay.
He's... steals every scene he's in. A very, very memorable, iconic movie, 1984's Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So many characters in here. He is definitely one of the top characters that you will remember when you see this.
Yeah.
And he's probably got about 4 or 5 minutes of screen time, if that. He's probably in 4 or 5 minutes of screen scenes.
Yeah. Maybe six.
Also swings it around, brings it back together. He's poignant, and there's an ending where you really actually respect him as you respect his character even more.
He's more than a caricature at the end.
By no means just a caricature. They make him more of a full rounded character. And just my dad used to love that scene so much. He loved the get a good one. He loved it. And he would actually say it all the time. Get a good one.
Get a good one. I forgot about that.
But he was just the epitome of like the power-hungry professor that we all had at one time or another.
Is it power-hungry or is it just
he's
the alpha dog. It's his domain. You're in his space.
Right, but it's just a little high school classroom. You know what I mean? He takes it so fucking seriously, which I guess you should. It's your job. It's your profession. And then everyone's there. But just, this is my space.
That's right.
What's wrong with having a little feast on our time?
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
And it's brilliant, too, when you actually listen to it. Because he's talking about Cuba and, socialism and... being ruled by a monarchy from far, far away. Right. And that's the lecture that he's giving. Fantastic.
Stuff.
Mr. Hand.
Logan, top five from the listeners. Now, you had a little trouble with the top five, yes?
Basically, there was some confusion between us about what the topic exactly was. Oh. But I rectified that this morning and and constructed a new listener top five.
We could cut this section if we want to make the show more streamlined.
I just want to know why he was fired.
Starsky and Hutch.
Jesus.
He's in the $6 million man, Brian.
We did not need to do this.
All right. Number five from the listeners. Mr. Keating from Dead Poets Society, played by Robin Williams.
How was that not on your list?
Not a fan of that movie.
I love that movie.
That is high melodrama.
But it works. And it got me.
I feel like that about I Do is, I like it a little better than Mr. Holland's Opus.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. This one also ran for me.
White Squall is better than all.
This one also ran.
White Squall. Okay.
Still have not seen White Squall. It's not available on Netflix. It's not available even as a disc.
I should have put that on the list, but I wasn't sure if he was a high school teacher. I got all intimidated and scared when we pared it down to just this kind of teacher. So I just...
I got to drag it on White Squall somewhere.
All right.
Okay. Tied for number three is Veronica Vaughn from Billy Madison.
Yeah, she was hot.
She was, and not much else.
And Mr. Hand from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fuck to the yes, people. Remember when he was making out with her picture and like he was pinching her nipple where it would be? Mrs. Lippy is a good one, too, from Billy Madison. All right.
Thank you very much, Miss Lippy.
Eating paste.
Number two, Edward James Olmos' character from Stand and Deliver.
Good one. I felt racist not putting it down.
You are.
Yeah.
And questionably, number one is Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop.
That works.
We doing Kindergarten? I would have had him there. But I didn't think we were doing Kindergarten.
My number one is
Kindergarten.
We're
doing high school.
My number one is Kindergarten.
That we're only doing high school.
My number one.
Which one worked for my
list? Well,
South
Park is in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, bro.
You know he was in Love American Style?
We're doing School Teachers.
Mission Impossible, the TV series, Brian. He was in The Sting.
We're still doing this?
Yeah.
He was in The Sting, you're right.
Ray Walston was in The Sting.
Also ran for me, Anderson, Paul Giamatti from Sideways. You never actually see him teach, but he's one of those movie failed writers who's a teacher now. Miss Shields from A Christmas Story, very close to making the list.
Oh, yeah. Good
Robin Williams from World's Greatest Dad. We just talked about that.
Was he a teacher in that?
Yeah. You see him in the classroom.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I remember him as dad more than a teacher.
Marissa Tomei and Crazy Stupid Love was a funny teacher. And let's see. Of course, Tina Fey and Mean Girls. All the Harry Potter characters. Mr. Hand and Gary Gosling. Bradley Cooper in The Hangover. You only see him in the classroom once, but it's a funny moment. Rob Riggle in 21 Jump Street should be mentioned. Anderson.
Should that be mentioned?
And by the way, the characters in Donnie Darko, a lot of good teachers in there. Kitty Farmer. Drew Barrymore's character.
The Apartment. Great little movie, The Apartment. You ever seen The Apartment? Billy Wilder's The Apartment. Good movie. You know what? Ray Walston's in that.
Oh, God.
Damn
Just
Yankees.
Do your list.
Damn Yankees, Brian.
Yes, I started off talking about
Here are my also-rans, the teachers. They also-ran teachers. Ben Stein, Ferris Bueller. Talk about stealing scenes. I mean, everyone remembers Bueller.
He has probably 70 Bueller. Seconds of screen time, and everyone remembers him.
Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Minds. Henry Barthes, Adrian Brody, in the Tony K directed Detachment, which I was a bit detached from, so I didn't put it in there. I also had Billy Madison's Bridget Wilson Sampras, as well as Mrs. Lippy. I put down Election, but I'm not allowed to say it, so I don't have it. Noah Wiley as Professor Kenneth Monioff in Donnie Darko. Mm-hmm. He was a great
I just said Donnie character. Darko. You teacher? Were reading stupid TV shows from Ray Walston.
And all-time favorite teacher ever on the screen, Brian, would have to be Nicky Catt in Boston Public, but that's a television program. But Nicky Catt's character in Boston Public, God, I love that guy. He had pizzazz.
Has Michael Biehn ever play a teacher?
Brian.
All right, Logan, let's gamble.
All right, last week you gambled on The Book of Life. At the time, you guys were 1 point away from each other, with Anderson bidding 78 and Brian 79.
Bidding the appropriate.
Now, currently, the Wednesday after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 1 point away from one of you.
Oh, no.
With a score of...
Stop it.
77, making Anderson the winner.
You're not... look on your face. You almost couldn't believe it.
Right, because last I looked, it was dead nuts on you. Wow.
I didn't even bother looking. I'm so used to winning.
Because I was looking at something else.
We're off by 1 point.
And now I'm looking at other things that are...
Come on,
Oh, wow. Really? All right, we're not going to do this one, but John Wick, guess what it is right now?
We're not doing it?
Well, we can't do John Wick.
Why?
Oh, that was going to be a fun one.
Because you just looked it up?
Because I was... I know, I'm the worst.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I was looking up the Book of Love.
The fuck's wrong with you?
To see if it moved again, because... No, it just popped up.
That couldn't wait.
When I went to Flix...
That couldn't wait.
I was... When do you pull the numbers there, Logan?
As we're recording the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought maybe, you know, he's a go-getter. I thought maybe he does it in the morning, and the number changed. It moved. Don't give me that look of deep disappointment, like I'm your kid doing drugs.
That's just how I look at you.
I went to Flixster, and it just defaulted to, like, you know, opening this week, and John Wick is up at the top with 100%. Who would have guessed?
So give me a movie I'm supposed to see.
100%.
You have a lot of time to think about this. You've had, like, 5 weeks.
Check out the Browning version.
That's the movie?
Yeah.
The Browning version.
You don't like that?
I'll watch it. I just...
No, fuck that. Birdman. I want to hear you talk about Birdman next week. Here we are in the fall season. I'm not going to have you watch the Browning version from 1951. It's a fantastic movie. I think you'll love it. You're going to love that Browning version.
Birdman.
Check out the... Add it to your queue at least, Brian.
Browning version?
Yeah. It's a movie you're going to like.
Can do.
I don't see you writing it down.
It's running down in my tumor.
No, that's a problem.
Okay.
That's to get flushed right out, the radiation.
God willing.
With chemo. The chemo
God willing.
Takes all good ideas I give you and just eradicates them.
That's right.
Oh, I keyed, Brian. How's
all
your
right,
grandma?
Logan. So what? Huh?
How's your grandma?
He might be dead by now.
Great.
Logan, what are we gambling on this week? Not John Wick?
Not John Wick.
That's 100%.
Unfortunately, you're going to be gambling on Queegee, horror movie based on the popular sleepover game.
A Ouija?
Queegee.
Ouija? I don't know how to pronounce it. I was never a teenage girl.
Like a Ouija board. I don't know anything about this. I don't think I've seen a single trailer for it. It's a horror film coming out in October, so I'm sure it must be great.
Hey, trick or treat. Send away now.
What's your number? Fuck, what's wrong with you, man?
What's wrong with me? 41.
50. 50 is probably way too high.
Koiji. I think it's just Ouija.
It is Ouija.
Why is he saying
we just went over this? What's wrong with you, man?
I have a brain issue.
Jesus Christ.
Well, the Wednesday before release, there are no reviews, so no Rotten Tomato score.
It's not a good sign when reviewers don't show up to your first screenings.
Play the music.
Sorry, buddy.
That's all right. Thank you, all of our feature artists. If you want a list of who they are, AndersonandBrian.com. Some of our greatest hits are up there. And thanks to Shatnerface for the featured art of the week. Fan art.
He's given us art before.
He's given us art before.
Yeah,
right,
I've heard the name before. Shatnerface.
Yeah, we get a lot of repeated customers, but
nice.
We appreciate it all.
We do.
Vendors.
All,
they're vendors.
It gives the episodes a little something. We appreciate it. Check out all the films we discussed on AndersonandBrian.com. Comment on our episodes.
John Wick, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
I was excited to see it, kind of. Now I'm really excited to see it.
Are you really?
I mean, I just really wanted to see Keanu Reeves do a badass action movie again.
A couple.
I thought it was going to be bad.
Just in one last year, the fucking 96 that Samurai, that or whatever it was called.
Ronin.
All right. Well, I wanted to see an American one. I don't know. This one looks good.
Somebody
though.
Sent me a parental review of it, but
you might like it. It's all
I
about
not open it because I don't want to know anything about it.
It's all about him avenging his dog's death. Yeah. So you might like it.
Yeah. All right.
The Film Vault on Facebook and Twitter. Check us out there. AndersonCowan.com to see his drunken ramblings about me.
I don't drink and I don't write that shit on there.
TheAfterDisaster.com to hear his drunken ramblings about me.
Very serious website. And I don't mention anything about Bri Bri.
Podcast.com.
Don't mention anything about Bri Bri over there. Keep
it
clean. I need a sound guy. Anyone out there who wants to join the club? We do have a lot of fun while shooting. We have a good time. I'm meeting all sorts of people and we're gearing up to do something for realsies. Hey, Logan, you can vouch for that. We had a good time out there, right?
Yeah, it was fun.
Despite the fact that it was 107
degrees. As fun as staying outside for 12 hours in 100-degree weather.
If it wasn't 107 degrees, that was not ideal. But yeah, we have a good time.
It was fun in the shade, I'll say that.
What do you do for Van Gogh?
Did you know, Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available on all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. True Car users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. Now, when you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com. You'll find out what people paid for the car you're looking for. Then, register at TrueCar.com. See upfront pricing information. Lock in your savings. Third step, simple. Print out your TrueCar savings certificate. Take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money. Never overpay.
Honestly, Brian, when I'm ready to buy a new car, there's no way I'm going anywhere other than TrueCar.
Because that's the trusted source for your best.
Well, we
price.
Do these reads, and I actually hear from people who come back with very positive reviews.
Nice. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com. Thanks for the help, buddy.